Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting in with mothers and daughters around the world. What a beautiful day. Can you believe it? We're halfway through March. It's crazy. But, you know, the good news is that we are here. We still have an opportunity today to do something good for God, to bless somebody, to help somebody along their way, and to just be grateful that God called our name this morning to wake up. So here we are. What you gonna do today? How you gonna serve him? Think about it. And sometimes you don't have to do a lot. You just be still. Be quiet. Listen. Let him talk to you. We go in and run in and do our little dissertation and tell him what we want him to do and preach to him. And then we get up and we got to run because we're in a hurry. We got 5 minutes to talk to God. Look, God, this is what I need you to do. And this is what happened, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay. Thank you, God. And you get up and run, and you say, wait, hold on, wait a minute. Hey, you didn't give me time to tell you something. You didn't give me time to answer you. You didn't give me time to say anything. Just up and run on out. And you don't wait for the answer. See, it's a conversation with God, not a lecture to God. Think about that. All right, let's go in and see my co-host, Cynthia Oliver and Deborah Tyler, here with us this morning. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm determined, darling. I'm determined to do well. All is well. Thank you so much.
All right.
Hi, Deborah. I'm sorry.
If you're determined, if that's what it's going to be.
Absolutely.
That is exactly what it's going to be.
Oh, yeah. It starts with the determination, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Let me bring Deborah on here. Hold one second.
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning.
Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, Cynthia's here. We miss you.
Praise the Lord.
We appreciate you. Just know we appreciate you. We miss you. We love and adore you,
thank
sister.
You.
God has
thank
called
you
to be mighty. We appreciate you. Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. More than you know, I appreciate you guys and all the love and all the support you two guys give me.
Thank you.
You know, It's rare, you know, you hate to say it, but it's rare to find a group of women that can get along spiritually and in harmony, and that's valuable. So when you have that kind of love circle, you know, I can't even see how somebody would want to move out of that love circle because it's so powerful and it nurturing.
Yeah.
And it's a family within itself. And I'm speaking about our advisory board for the organization. It's just such a group of loving spirit women that, whew, to be honest with you, I never knew it exists. Because I've been around so many people that, you know, you thought you could trust them, but you realize you couldn't. So I'm going to leave that on the table. So anyway, Cynthia, how was your week?
My week was challenging. But you know what? Challenge is always good. There's always a lesson in the challenge. And I got my lesson. Anytime, like you said, when you did the opening, you know, when you're running here and there, you can't hear a word from God. And so I got my message from the God himself, my daddy. And so, you know what? Despite the challenge, I'm still good, and I'm determined to be good in it all. And I thank him for it all. So all is well. It was just a challenging week for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm going to leave it right there because it'll take over the radio show if I start talking about it. And then we ain't got that kind of time. And so, but challenging, and, you know, life happens. And sometimes we make decisions based on what's best for us. And it's not best for everybody else around you. And it causes conflict. And I'm determined not to allow it to take me out of the game of trusting God. And so I'm going to leave it right there. My week was good. Thank you.
Yeah. And that's the good thing about it. You know, challenges come. And they can do one or two things. They can make you stronger, or they can take you down. And if you're in God's hand, you know, he'll take whatever it is and make it good. He'll turn that thing around to good every time.
Absolutely. I believe that, and I'm trusting him for that.
Yeah. Oh, that's his word. Oh, he'll make it good now.
And it'll make you a little bit stronger if you just trust him in it all.
Yeah. Deborah, how was your week?
Well, my week was the usual business. Nothing spectacular happened. I just, you know, this week in my leisure time, I found a video, and it was just 4 hours of testimony. I was just talking about how good God was. So I've kind of been saturating myself with praise music and testimonies and you know, I'm getting this spirit tuned up for my kids. And I was just praying this morning, and all I could think about was what I was going to say to them kids. And I said, Lord, I'm trying to pray for us this morning for the show, the kids, all these. But I thank you. I write it somewhere. Thank you, Lord. So I'm getting excited about the Thursday night updates with the ministries and all the things that we're going to bring as a collective group of women serving the Lord. I'm excited about that. And so I'm excited about when we finish it, I'm going to treat myself and go out to breakfast and then go by the store. I got a little gift card. I want to, you know, give me something for church tomorrow. So I'm excited about that because I don't really go shopping. You know, I'm not. So I'm like a little kid, like, when I finish, I'm going to go out to eat. I'm going to go shopping and do my own nails and save some money, you know, whatever. So, I'm excited like a little kid right now. So I had a good weekend.
I like it, and I'm excited for you.
Yeah. Like a little kid, that I am.
That's great. Well, my week was good. I'm moving on in my process, and I'm just, you know, I'm excited because of the revelation knowledge and guidance and tidbits of information that God is sharing with us with this new community that he's creating. And, you know, I was excited like everybody else because I got it. Most of that stuff Thursday night when y'all got it. He had given me a little bit in the direction and gave me something to think and ponder on. And then Thursday night, the clarity of it was unveiled to all of us at the same time, because I got more clarity as he was speaking through me to clarify. So I can't even tell you the next day how many people have texted me, and it's like excited because it showed their purpose. You see what I'm saying? Well, you hear what I'm saying. I don't know why people say see what I'm saying. But it clarified the purpose. And now they can see why they were chosen to do what God is asking them to do here. So that to me was a big, major step to the development of this community. And if you think about it, had we done the community and moved into the community prior to getting the understanding of it, you see what a mess it would have been? Are y'all there?
Yes, we're here.
Yes, I'm here.
With clarity and seeking God to give directions, he clears up the mess. You know, you think you have it, you think you know it, and it's not until and we have to know the voice of God, audience, when I say listening to God to give you the clarity. Because if he has purposed something in your heart, he gave us a vision, but he has the plan. And so he gives us a little bit at a time. And oftentimes we run with what we think is the plan, but he has the plan. All he gave us was a vision, and he told us to write it down. And if we just trust him and walk it out, and it starts to unfold itself. And it may, like you said on Thursday night, we've been waiting since you and I got together in 2009. And God brought us together in 2009. He gave you the vision in 2011, how this thing was going to work, even before we met the ladies on the board now. And he's just constantly refining it, letting you know, yeah, I got this, and it's going to happen in my time. And it's because we've been spinning, girl. We've been spinning like a bottle top. And we've been trying to make it happen. We've been, doing everything that we think we can to do the plan that God has. And we just had to just step back and let him give you, and he still haven't given you the whole picture, I'm sure. But you know more now than you did when we got on the phone Thursday night. And we all know more now before we got on the meeting on Thursday.
Yeah, that is so true. And I just keep saying, God, you are so awesome. And so, you know, I'm in that shut up, listen mode. Shut up, listen. You know, slow your roll down. So it's I'm excited because I'm bringing my ministry to the table as well. And so it's just an exciting thing for me. It's been a good week. I won't be able to complain about a thing. It was a good week. So now with that being said, we're going to talk about our topic for today. And our topic today, ladies. Oh, I'm so sorry. Cynthia, you want to give us a prayer?
Yes, ma'am. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you as humble as we know how, knowing that you sit high and you look low, and that you know everything. There's no surprises with you, Father God. Whatever you allow us to come to, you will get us through it. And so, Father God, we know that you're in control. Because you're in control, we're going to have the mindset to just wait on you. But when we wait on you, you will renew our strength. But when we wait on you, you will tell us some things. You will give us some words of wisdom and knowledge, and that's how we become a little bit stronger in it all. And Father God, you know that you are so amazing. You are so, so amazing. And that when we learn to trust you, Father God, all things work together for your good. And we start to see it as good, even though it don't feel good. And with that, Father God, we just say thank you. We thank you, Father God, that you got our backs. We thank you, Father God, that you constantly talk to your children when we can just take the time to stop and listen. We thank you, Father God, that when we seek thy word, that we will mount up like eagles and that we will walk and not get weary. We will run and not faint. And so, Father God, we thank you for the steadfastness that you put in us, each and one of us, Father God. We have just trust in you, Father God, and we just say thank you for this radio show. We thank you for our listeners, Father God. We pray that something will be said today that will put someone on a road of change, and you will get the glory, Father God, not mothers and daughters around the world, not the organization, but you and you alone will get the glory for the change. And it's just a little bit every day, and we just thank you for that. We thank you, Father God, that we will mount up like on wings of eagles. And with that, Father God, I just say amen, and thank you for our audience. They could have been doing anything today, but all those who stopped to listen, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Well, our topic today, ladies, is mothers and daughters. Who do you trust, man or God? Think about that. I'll come back and pick you up in a little bit.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Audience, mothers and daughters, fathers and sons, all the listeners, that's a question for each of us. That's a question. And you need to know how to answer that. Shouldn't have to think about it. It should be an automatic, just like that, boom. Who do you trust, man or God? Now, if you've been on this earth any given time, let's just say you've been on the earth for 12 years. Let's just go with 12. 12 is the year that it seems that you transform, according to the old saying, you become the owner of your own sins. And I don't know if that's really true. That's been a saying since I was a child. And you get 12, your parents no longer carry your sins. I think it kind of came out of the time when Jesus was in the synagogues preaching, and he was 12, and he was, you know, and his parents came looking for him, and it was like, your parents out here looking for you. And they were like, well, what were you doing? He said, I was about my father's business, you know, and I think it came from that. Oh, he's 12. So when he's 12, you pretty much can, you know, be about your father's business. You're taking ownership. But just say at 12, when you have a little friend and it's your best friend and you trust your best friend, and then your best friend does something and they hurt your feelings, or they drop you off and pick up another friend. And just when you thought we had been friends from kindergarten, now all of a sudden we're in middle school and you decide to get a whole new friend. A whole new set of friends, and act like you don't know me. Sometimes that's your first experience of man and how you feel that you cannot trust man. Because you would probably say to yourself, I thought he was my friend. I thought she was my friend. I trusted her with my information. We shared information. Now, will she tell them what I told her? Will she share with them my secrets? And then you begin to wonder, can you trust that person? That is a man. It could be man or woman. Can I trust her with my information? When people stop speaking to you and you've confided in them, it crosses your mind. What about my data? What about my information that I download into her? Will she spread it out? And every time you see you, wondering if they talking about you, if they're laughing at you, or if she told you deep secret, your worst fear. But then when you find out about Jesus and you build a relationship with Jesus and you find that he's a person that cannot lie, and whatever he say he's going to do, he's going to do it. And you start building that relationship with Jesus. You keep talking to him and you give your life to him and you tell him, I want you to be my savior. You know, and you ask God to forgive you for your sins. And you say, you know what? I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Because see, what you're really going to find is a friend. You're going to find someone that's not going to change on you. You're going to find someone who's not going to talk about your conversations. When you're burdened, you bring your burdens to me. So you learn that man will change on you. Man cannot be trusted. And I know people say, well, that you shouldn't put that on everybody. I put it on every human being on the face of the earth. Depending on whatever the situation is, they're subject to change. If it comes down to taking my life for information about you, I'm going to think about that thing. And then I might tell it because I'm like, they're going to kill me if I don't tell them where you are. So your friend will say, well, you should have not told them. You just let them kill you and they would have never found me. But supposing they killed me and they found you too, so I'd have been dead because I didn't give the information. That's an extreme situation, yes. But I often wonder about my girlfriend. She's not here now, but she used to tell me, she said, you know, I can keep a secret until they start pulling my fingernails out. If they ever start pulling my fingernails out, I'm going to start talking. And we used to laugh about that because that's a true thing. They get a plier and say, I'm going to pull your fingernails off your nails off of your finger. You're going to start thinking about that. And you might start thinking about, hey, loyalty is one thing, but this is some serious pain. Or they got your child somewhere, and if you don't tell me this, this is what's going to happen to your child. A mother's going to talk. She'll tell you everything she know, everything she's ever thought, everything she's ever heard to keep you from hurting her child. But only Jesus will keep your secrets. And you know, it's so amazing that God said, once you repent, I will remember it no more. So who's going to hold God hostage? I'm here to find out about Bessie. And God, I need you to tell me about what she told you. Or else. I know that sounds really crazy because you're talking about somebody talking to God like they crazy. But, you know, I'm using this as an example so I can get you to think. And God will look at the person and says, I don't remember anything about what she said. What do you mean you don't remember? She's been talking to you all her life. She's been coming to you, telling you everything about her, and you know it all. But I don't remember. Because he told us, once you repent, you're forgiven, and I remember it no more. So man is the unit that the enemy uses to make you think that God still remembers. Think about it. If God told you whatever you bring to me and you repent, I remember it no more. Do you trust God or do you trust man? So I would trust God because he said, my word, before my word become void. Heaven and earth will pass away. Now, that's some serious stuff. That means we're gone. So he doesn't remember it anymore. So the enemy is going to use your friends, your coworkers, your family, people that you just see on the street that know something about you, heard something about you, to remind you of those things just to get you to think, oh, my God, yeah, I did do that. Oh, Lord, I tell you, I remember. You remembered it over and over and over and over again. And God doesn't even have that on his radar because you've already repented from it. It doesn't really exist anymore. Except in the deviousness of Satan and whomever he can get to jab you with some information, to jab your memory, to shake you up. But if you just stop and think, I don't own that anymore. That's why Paul kept saying, I've done no man no harm. And if you think about that, Paul was Saul. And Paul had killed over 3,000 people just for serving and following Jesus. But he said boldly, I've done no wrong to no man. Now, how can he justify saying that except the fact that he knew that he had been forgiven and it was remembered no more? If God is not going to remember it, then Paul says, I'm not going to remember it. In my mind, I ain't done nothing. Y'all can say what you want to say, but I didn't do it. Now, that's bold, but that's attaching itself to believing God. So I kind of look at it that way. I was doing a study on that about a week or so ago, and I said, you know what, Bessie? That's the approach I'm going to take. Either you're going to believe God or you're not. If God can forgive you, then you need to forgive yourself and stop owning something that don't exist in the kingdom of God. It doesn't exist. It's not on your book. It's not on your record. It's like it's never happened. So why are you going to lay in that false image, false information appearing to be real? You know, why are you going to live in that? You going to believe God or you going to believe man? The enemy comes to destroy the soul, and the soul is your mind. That's where everything's housed, in your mind. So you have a mind, body, and a spirit. And when you say mind, think of it as your soul. Make decisions. That's the factory upstairs. That's the heartbeat of the body. It controls the body. The soul does. And all God wants you to do is align your soul with his spirit that's inside of you. You get the soul and the spirit together. The body follows. The body follows the soul. Because you have to think of something before you do it with your body, before the body will react. You have to think of, I left that in the bathroom. Then the body's going to get up, what? Go to the bathroom, get what you thought you left there, or I want a drink of water. The body's going to get up, go to the refrigerator, and get the water, or to the sink. Whatever you think of, the body will automatically do it. That's why God is saying you got to renew your mind, because when you renew your mind, then you get what you renew your mind on. Is it always good? No. Because some people like to have a lot of people around them. They like to be the center of attention. They like to either be dependent on some, on man, you know, I want them to like me, so I'm going to go and buy them a gift, or I'm going to, you know, do something for them all the time. I'm going to be their little gopher, or I'm, you know, anything for them to accept me and it like, and like me in their group, and, you know, all of these things. Your mind is generating thoughts that's around man. So you are decided that you're going to serve man. So your trust is in man. I trust my friend. When I ask her something and she tells me, that's what I'm doing. How many times you go to your girlfriend and ask your girlfriend, what should I do about this? What does she knows? Nothing about you. We go to our family members. We go to the members of the church. We go here, there, and the other, and even to the pastor. What, you know, pastor, what do you think, you know, I should do? And the pastor tells you, well, sister so-and-so, I think, you know, you need to do this or do this or do that. What does the pastor know about you? No disrespect for pastors, but what do they know about you? I'm a pastor. What do I know about you? Nothing. I know nothing about the 12 people that's on my board to tell them what they should do. What I tell people is that, well, let's go to the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit. And if you ask somebody something and they tell you something other than telling you to go to the Holy Spirit, you are a trusting man. I don't care who they are. Now, you may take the time to vent. You may take the time to discuss. You may take the time to share just to have a physical person to talk to. What should I do should come from Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You should, there's three people that you know that you present, what do I do? Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You don't ask man, what should you do? Because they don't have the answer. As a Christian clinical psychologist, I tell my clients, when they come to me, look, I don't have your answer. I do not have the answer. The answer for your situation is within you. But what we can do, we can discuss the situation, and then we're going to call the Holy Spirit in to tell you and to lead and guide us on what you should do. That's my answer. Because only the Holy Spirit knows. Only the Holy Spirit can tell you the right answer. You ask me, my answer is going to come from my life experiences, my perspective on things, my likes and don't and dislikes, a book that I read, a pastor that I listened to, something I saw on YouTube or something I saw in a movie. My answers are going to come through things that I saw in the world. So then that taking you what? Back to trusting man. So who are you going to trust, mothers and daughters? You going to trust man or you going to trust God? Who made the world? Who created you? Who provides for you? Who heals your body? Who protects you from evil? Certainly not man. You can ask a man, I need you to pray for me. Okay, I'm going to pray for you. Okay, I'm going to pray for you. And you go on and you believe they're going to pray for you. And they forget about it. They'll forget to pray for you. If the person don't pray for you right then and there, they'll forget about it. And you got to be careful to know if they got a connection with God to even pray for you. Anybody can call out words. But where's your heart? Do you have a relationship with God? Can you connect with me? Two or more come together. I'm in the midst. But I don't know your relationship with God. You got to be careful with who you ask to pray with. Look at their life. Look at the fruit that they produce. That's how you can, that's one indication that, okay, you know, I see how she lives. She has a relationship with God, you know, so I can talk to her, or I can, you know, share my thoughts with her. As a Christian clinical psychologist, that puts me in a different arena from being just a clinical psychologist. I was a clinical psychologist until I got my doctorate in Christian psychology, because that's what God wanted. He wanted me to be able to integrate all that I learned from the secular world, and then he pulled in the biblical. And he put it together. So therefore, I can relate to someone coming in from the secular world. And then once I understand what they're doing, what they're experiencing, then I'm able to introduce them to the spiritual realm through the Holy Spirit. And they know it's true because the Holy Spirit will tell me something to tell them that only they knew. And they will look at me and say, how did you know that? Now, the Holy Spirit's gotten their attention because I have said something that they knew I shouldn't have known. And that's why I tell my clients, don't come in here and lie to me, because the Holy Spirit is going to tell me if you're lying to me. And if you're lying to me, I can't help you, because the Holy Spirit's going to shut down. He's not going to be a part of a game. But if you really want to be helped, you tell the truth, then we got something going on. We can get the Holy Spirit on board. Now you can get the answers that you need. Again, our topic is mothers and daughters. Who do you trust, man or God? Okay, Deborah, what's your take?
Wow. Who do you trust, man or God? I tell you, coming from an adult point of view and being a Christian, I trust in God. And there's times that I have to repent, because sometimes I want to go and figure it out myself, and I just be real, you know, and most of the time I'm trusting, but there's a spot here or there that I'm asking God to seal. So, you know, even from day-to-day expenses and things that we need in life, you know, necessities, and I'm saying, God, I don't see it. And then here comes a blessing right under my nose that was probably already in route, you know. And he was saying, I know what you need before you need it. I know what's in your heart, and I know that you love me, and I know that you want to believe me, and I know that you do believe me. But there's sometimes, like the old man in the Bible says, not old man, but the scripture said, Lord, I believe. Yeah, it was a man. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. He was saying, I believe you, but there's times I got to spot. There's times of trust is wavering. And in Proverbs, it tells us trusting the Lord with all, not part, not sometime, not on Sunday and Thursday Bible study. He said, all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding, because Proverbs talk about if you your own God, you got a fool for a God. If you doing your own thing, you got a fool. He
said, don't be foolish to try to figure out these things. They're too deep for you. The spiritual things, the things that God said, I know the end before the beginning. He said, do you trust me? He said, I knew before you, your mom and your daddy knew each other that I was going to have you. I knew that you was going to go left, go right, go fall, go get up, go fall, go fall, go get up. I knew all that. But trust me that all things work together for good to them that love God. You love me, right? I love you, Lord. He said that all those things going to work together. He said, just trust me. Like I say, I was just listening to testimonies over and over again. I'm talking about some stuff. Be like, wow, God is able. And I asked him to forgive me for the times I had the unbelief and the little spot here and the situation there. But I trust him with my life. And I just say, Lord, help me just sit back and stay on the passenger side and stop trying to drive a stick car and I can't drive no stick. Or stop trying to drive from the passenger side. Let me just sit there and enjoy the ride. Because I know wherever you're taking me, I can close my eyes and I can enjoy the ride. I ain't got to worry about your speed and reckless and causing me more harm. You know, I could just trust him. And so each day when I deal with situations, it's giving me more and more and more affirmation that God really got my best interest at hand. So I trust him. I trust him. I trust him, and I'm learning to trust him totally with all my heart. Thank you for letting me
share. Wow. Yeah. You know, it's amazing when we come up to, on Saturday mornings, we are all pretty much been on a path that's leading to this topic. You know, either we've seen something, heard something, you know, someone's preached something that takes us to a topic. And like someone said to me yesterday, what are y'all talking about tomorrow? I said, I don't even have an idea. I have no clue. Oh, you don't know what your topic is for tomorrow? I'm like, nope, don't know what my topic is, but I'll get it in the morning. And I like it like that because I'm taught when I get it like that. Even though it's coming out of my mouth, I'm being taught or I'm being verified, I'm being clarified about something that I've been led to during the week. So that was good, Deborah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go to Cynthia. Good morning, Cynthia, again.
Good morning. That I'll be... It's so funny, the statement that you made about the enemy will use man or woman to take a jab at you. And just to be honest with you guys, first thing that came at me this morning was man jabbing at me. And I was just like, God is so all-knowing. He's so all letting you know that I know. And Isaiah 55:11, like you said, he said, so shall my word that goes before, he said, whatever, if my word goes before you and before it comes back void, heaven and earth will pass away. And so for God to let us know that whatever I tell you, whatever you got to know the voice of God, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to know our Heavenly Father's voice. Because if he shows it to you, oftentimes God gives you his word when you're studying his word. And he will show you what he is saying to you. It's not an audible voice. But he points it out in his word when you study his word. And before that word come back void, if he's shown you something, if he's given you a promise, you better know that it is going to happen. You just need to wait on God. You just need to trust in God that he's the only one that has your answer. Man don't have your answer, but they do have a critical word for you. Man don't have your back, but they want you to have their back. And if it comes down, like Dr. Fletcher said, to them or you, they going to pick out the whatever they can to try to jab at you. And so it is so paramount. It is so important that you learn to trust God, even for your comfort. And we don't think about that as something that we need from God. Even when you're going through, man can't even comfort you like God can comfort you. Because it's based on circumstances with man. But God comforts you in every decision you make, in everything that you do or don't do. If you just take it to him and talk to the Father, he will comfort you in your most difficult times, your most difficult challenges. It is he that gives you the peace to know that I know and that you are okay. But we're going to have to be determined to trust God and not man for every need that we have as human beings, because man don't have your answer, as Dr. Fletcher so pointedly stated. They don't have your answer. They don't have what you need. They can't make it happen. Only God. If he don't do it, it can't be done. And I am just sitting here so thankful that I have a Heavenly Father that is constantly giving me what I need. Because if you don't get in the habit of turning to him, you'll turn to woman or man. And man will disappoint you every time because they can't give it to you like the Heavenly Father can give it to you. And right now I'm just talking about comfort in times of difficulty, in times of challenges, in time when life happens. He is so amazing. And his peace, you can't get it from man. You can only get it from him. And I just thank you, Dr. B, for your obedience, and I thank you for listening to the Holy Spirit and not trying to have the word the day before or trying to have your own topics, because he knows what we need. And I tell you, I was just sitting here just smiling when you gave the topic and the scripture that you gave, because Daddy lets us know. I know. And because I know, you're okay. If you trust me, you okay? If you just trust me. And wow, thank you for allowing me to share. And God is, Daddy is just amazing. Our Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, is so amazing. And I just have to stop and pause to thank Jesus for being the perfect example of humanity. I only say what he tells me to say. I only go where he tells me to go, and I only do what he tells me to do. Just amazing. Thank you for allowing me to share. I can go on, but I'm going to leave it right there.
That's powerful. That's powerful. Yeah, and you know, thank you, because just as you were speaking, and even though God said to me as I was talking about his word, before his word go void, heaven and earth will pass away. And mute yourself. I can hear some noise in the background. Heaven and earth will pass away. And so I'm thinking, and then you said, well, if he gives you a word, then you can believe that word is going to it's going to manifest, or heaven and earth is going to pass away. So I was sitting here, and the Holy Spirit said, remember, I gave you a word, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And before that word passed you know, before those words become void, heaven and earth will pass away. And I'm thinking, wow, that just took it to a different level. You know, even though you know, it just gave it more of the wisdom of it became a greater understanding of it, a deeper understanding, I would say, of it. And I was like, wow, now that really will make you stand up or sit up with your shoulders back and your head up, because that was like a confirmation of a confirmation of a confirmation. God is not going to let anything happen. Whatever he tells you he's going to do, whatever you're going through, mothers and daughters, you better believe. If you can get yourself to Jesus, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, repent for your sins, which God is going to just hear you out and wipe it off your books. It's not going to be a part of your judgment. And just read his promises. That's the work that you have to do. You don't have to work for man. You don't have to go out there and try to figure out how you're going to pay your bills. Even though most people can't even consciously absorb that, because that's tradition. And we have been in tradition so long that if someone tells you you don't have to work to eat physically, you think they crazy. You mean I don't have to work? Who gonna pay my light bill? Who gonna bring food in the house? You know, and it's real to you because that's your tradition. You're working with the law of the land. You're working with the rules and regulation of man. But then if you go back to the promises of God, God said what? Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, and where you're going to sleep. If my word fails, then heaven and earth is going to pass away. Who are you going to trust? Man or God? We are so conditioned to, I call them going into prisons from 9 to 5. They're prisons. They're corporate slave prison units. And I know a lot of people is going to say, well, what are you saying, Dr. B? When I was in the corporate world, I got it 40 years ago or more. I got so tired of going in that building, had to be to work at 8 o'clock. 10 o'clock, I could go take a break, 15-minute break. Got to be back on time. 1 o'clock or 12:30, I could go to lunch for an hour. Got to be back on time. 5 o'clock. I could check out and go home. Got to be back on time, 8 o'clock. And one day, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, it's a corporate prison. And we all drill into these buildings. And you know, if you don't do exactly what they say, you're going to lose your job. And because I don't want to lose my job, because I got to pay my bills, I'm going to do exactly what man told me, because I'm going to trust man for my food. I'm going to trust man for my house to stay in. I'm going to trust man because I got to have clothes to wear and a car to drive. I need to take a vacation every once in a while. I'm going to trust man because he going to give me the money that I need. But what did God say? And I'm telling you, I know this for a fact. I haven't had a paycheck since 2008. Not a paycheck where something came and said my name on it, and I can take it and do whatever I want to do with it. But when God dried up my brook from millions of dollars to my brook dried up, And one day he said to me, when my last little trickle, I had a little bit of water coming through that brook, you know, it's all jammed up tight, but there's a little bit of water trickling through. And he put a little brook right over that so it stopped. And he said, who are you going to trust? Are you ready to trust me? And I said, yes, because I didn't have anywhere else to go. People don't hire people with PhDs like you think. You go looking for a job. I couldn't even get a job telemarketing. Man said, well, ma'am, I can't hire you, you know, because I know what you're going to do. You'll be here just for a few weeks, and then all of a sudden you're going to find something, you're going to be gone. And I trained telemarketers. I was a corporate trainer. I went in, trained, set up phone centers, had experience that could help him. But he wasn't willing to gamble with me because I had a PhD. I know you're not coming here to stay. So you think about it. You think you get all the education. You think you're this, that, and the other. It puts you in a position. Nobody ain't going to hire you if you got more education than them. Because they feel threatened. That's man who we trust. And I said to God, yes. I had car payment. I had bills. I had living expenses, eating, gas, like everybody else. And God has not missed a beat. My car was paid on time. Paid off early. I'm telling you, when I look back over my life, I have traveled, been, done, and it was all because God would give me what I need when I need it. And until this day, he's doing the same thing. He will send in whatever we need to get us to the next level. Somebody will make a donation for this or somebody will do that. He will do it. So I don't have no place else to go and I don't want to go anywhere. I'm not telling you to quit your jobs, mothers and daughters. Because, see, you got to have a relationship with God in that area and your faith got to be strong enough in that area that you can trust him. I had to trust him. And I made up my mind, I'm going to trust you, and I will not change. I haven't had a job, and I was working for myself when I was getting paid, because I've been working for myself now about 35 years or longer, and I thought I was taking care of me. No, you was not. You was making some money, but then you didn't realize I still was taking care of you, Bessie. I still was your base, and that's what we do. We forget about our base because traditions say if you're going to live in this world, you got to trust man. You got to have a job. You got to live in the corporate prisons, and that's not true because his words say, if I take care of the lilies, the birds, and they don't have to worry about nothing. What more will I do for you, my man, created in my image, my woman? Who are you going to trust? Man of God.
Dr. Fletcher, if you don't mind, I just wanted
one
to
second.
Read Isaiah 50. I'm sorry.
One second. So what I'm saying to you, you're going to have to make up your mind on who you're going to trust. But before you make up your mind, I suggest that you go to the Bible. And for most people who have Google, some people have their fear of the Bible. Oh, I don't know how to read it. Da, da, da. Go to Google because you trust Google and put in there what are the promises of God that's in the Bible. And it'll give you a list of Bible verses that God has said and the things that he promised. Read over them and see what he said and then make a decision. We're off the air, not off the air, but we got a few seconds, and if you can do it in 30 seconds, Cynthia, I want to get 30 seconds from you, 30 seconds from Deborah, and then we'll close out. Go ahead.
Okay. Isaiah 55:11 says exactly this. So shall my word be that goes out forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. In other words, if God give you a word, it will prosper and it will not return void. That's the word, Isaiah 55:11.
Okay. Thank you. Deborah, you want to say something before we close?
No, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you. Amen.
All right.
And everything. Amen.
All right. Y'all got it.
Go
look at Isaiah 55:11 and Google God's promises. And I tell you, you'll know the ones that hit you. As you read them, there are certain verses that will hit your spirit. And that means when it hits your spirit, that means the Holy Spirit is trying to talk to you in that area on that particular topic. And then just stop right there and let him talk to you. All right, mothers and daughters, that's it for the day. God bless us. That went by fast, ladies. Thank you, Cynthia. We appreciate you coming back and being with us this morning. We know we missed you. Deborah, thank you.
Yes.
It has been absolutely wonderful. God bless you, and you all have a blessed weekend.
Bye, audience.
You guys as well. Love you guys. Bye-bye, audience. Love y'all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.